Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. Happy Shuffle Day to my Milwaukee Tappers. It is Saturday, March the 3rd. You can find us, Snowtap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're also a website, Snowtap WI, if you're not familiar. You can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play for your podcast to go right into your feed so you can listen, stay connected with us. We always appreciate it. Feedback always welcome if you guys have it. We work for you. So may this be a podcast that either you're getting warmed up for the shuffle, you're listening to it. Those who maybe go out right now and are enjoying a few libations, maybe it's a podcast you listen to when you're maybe in bonus land after passing out at 7 o'clock. Who knows? Or it's tomorrow for a hangover. But any which way, we're happy to talk to you. We're going to talk about the Bucks. We're going to talk about the crazy day in the NBA with J.R. Smith throwing soup and then that T-Wolves-Jazz fight. I think there's a lot of things there, especially the Marquette angle with that T-Wolves-Jazz thing. Then some NFL news and notes, Combine, Kirk Cousins, the whole shebang. So this is a big show. This is I was doing my notes and it looks like it's going to be quite a podcast. So definitely excited for it. We're starting with the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Milwaukee Bucks were in a must-win situation last night against the Indiana Pacers. Huge game. Bucks had lost three straight, and not only did they lost three straight, but they were going into a stretch where they played Indiana twice and Philadelphia once. Now, they're 0-3 on the week. They needed this win badly, and instead the Bucks lost. The Bucks had a bad, bad third quarter that led to their demise. They fall last night 103-96. It is not a good time to be a Bucks fan. It is looking kind of bleak, actually, to be honest. They get outscored 33-21 in the third quarter. Fourth quarter wasn't really much better until the Bucks got hot late, and it was a little too late, and they couldn't win this game. Chris Middleton leads the way with 30 points. Giannis again struggled from the field. He looks tired. He looks really beat up. And you want to point some fingers at Jason Kidd, I mean, by all means. I mean, I think we're starting to see the wear and tear on Giannis. And Giannis is clearly tired. Giannis needs like a week off. Like the All-Star game, well, granted, it's great exposure. He could have really used to not even play the All-Star game and had a full week off because he looks exhausted. Like the shot's not there. He's not attacking. He just needs it's a weird question, but would you sacrifice these next two games if it meant Giannis back on Wednesday getting like a 4-day off? I don't know. At some point, you have to wonder when do you rest Giannis for a couple games to let him get back? Because I don't know if he's really helping the team right now. Of course, Giannis is scoring and making things happen, but he's not aggressive. He's not attacking the rim, and it's affecting the team. And there's way too much isolation. And we're starting to see some of the bad habits of the Bucks when they were under Kidd creep back in, and especially around not playing a full 48 for the Bucks. This happened a lot with Kidd, where we would look at the game and from an outset we'd be like, okay, they actually played well for three quarters and then they really sucked in that one quarter. And I feel like that didn't happen for a little while under Prunty, and now it's back. Where we look at it, you look at every game the Bucks have lost. New Orleans, they had a bad third quarter, lost the game, and that they weren't able to recover. They have a decent third quarter. They hold their water in the third quarter. The Bucks probably win that game. Washington, terrible first quarter. Absolutely awful first quarter. They at least hold the tide. They outplayed Washington the rest of the game, especially in that second half. So they probably would have came back and won that game. Detroit, probably a lost cause. But Detroit, it was the same thing. They had a really bad second quarter, and that second quarter bled into the third quarter, and it led to the Bucks getting their asses kicked. So, and then today, and Friday, bad third quarter. So you keep looking at this and you're saying, what is exactly the pinpoint? Is it an energy thing? Is it just they're coming out of these half times and they're just ill prepared for adjustments that are being made? That Prunty is continually getting out coached by the likes of Stan Van Gundy and others? What's exactly pinpointing the problems here with Milwaukee? Because it has to change at some point. And now you face a red hot Philly team on Sunday night. I'm going to be in the building for that game, and I'm 1-5 on the year, so take that for a grain of salt. But Philly is looking ripe to kick our ass, And that does not feel good. That does not feel good. Joel Embiid is a monster inside, and the Bucks really don't have an answer for Embiid. So this is going to be a very interesting game. I mean, it would be classic NBA if the Bucks win these next two games, and actually things would be okay. Honestly, it would be. If the Bucks won these next two games, it's fine. But this could really spiral out of control to a 6 or 7 game losing streak. Because, oh yeah, by the way, Houston's looming on Wednesday. So the Bucks just have to see a win. Like, this is, it's like a golfer, right? Where you just have to see a putt go in if you're struggling. And if you start seeing a couple putts go in, maybe you can put together a good round. The Bucks just have to see a win. I'm like convinced if Milwaukee would have won on Wednesday, they would have won on Tuesday or Sunday, I think it's a little different. I feel like this team has a little more pep in the step, but I feel like they are down collectively. I think Sunday was such a huge wind out of your sail game for Milwaukee because it was the second overtime game. They pulled out that one in Toronto and they nearly did it to New Orleans and it just didn't happen. So it's a really frustrating time to be a Bucks fan. And I know fans are, you know, this, I think this is part of the, also too. And I know that there are some like, well, you know, you're saying you want to fire Prunty. No one wants to fire Prunty. I think this is, though, proof that Joe Prunty is just an interim coach, and that's about it. And that the Bucks do need a high-level basketball mind to take over this team next year and to really be advanced and progressive as well as know their shit. And I think that's proof. Because I think Prunty's a good coach. I think he's not a head coach, if that makes any sense. All right, let's a couple other news and notes on the Bucks before we move on to our man J.R. Smith. Jason Terry getting 36 minutes yesterday. I get it that he was in the starting lineup, but what the fuck? Like, Jason Terry, I like Jason Terry. I think Jason Terry does enough, but there is no reason Jason Terry should be playing 36 minutes. There is not a reason in 2018. Sterling Brown only plays 12. I get that he was in foul trouble because there was some awful officiating, so maybe that's part of the reason why Jason Terry played 36 minutes, but man, that's way too much. So hopefully Tony Snell can come back from his thigh bruise and play on Sunday because he is definitely needed. I think part of this problem with what's wrong with the Bucks, and we talked about Shabazz Muhammad on Friday, you can go listen to it, but I think the John Horst needed to make actual trade this offseason or this February, and he didn't do it. And he hurt his bench by not making a trade. He didn't swallow his pride and get rid of DJ Wilson, get rid of Thon Maker, who we're going to talk about 1 second here. And he has some young trade pieces that he could present to a team, especially a rebuilding team, and say, hey, these guys are raw. They're going to need a ton of time. But by the time you guys are good and back on your feet again, these guys could be good professionals. They just don't fit our roster right now. And instead, Horace just kept the roster. And I think he held his water too much. And it was like he didn't want to be John Hammond, where John Hammond would have definitely made a move here because that's what John did. And Horace just decided I'm going to stay put and keep my cards down instead of making something happen. I don't think it was the right thing to do. Jabari Parker did play okay. He had, it was 5 of 12, 11 points, but he had a minus PER of 16. So I guess what cost right now are we getting out of Jabari? Is the team just not gelling with Jabari out there? He plays 25 minutes. Does Jabari need to be in the starting rotation? How does the team mesh with Jabari right now, I think, is the biggest problem. I don't think there is dissension building among the team, but how do they get Jabari involved and incorporated more in this offense to make him into a fluid motion? Because if it is coming off the bench, fine, but there's something going on right now with Jabari where it's not working. I don't want him to be the scapegoat because I think it's more about Giannis being fatigued and tired than it is Jabari and what Jabari's doing on the floor. Wrapping up before we move on to J.R. Smith and the T-Wolves, Zach Lowe has an article, The 10 Things I Don't Like, every week, must read for NBA fans. Mentioned the Bucks again with Thon Maker, and that Thon Maker is one of the worst defensive rebounders in all of basketball. He is absolutely struggling to possess rebounds as a big man. And you have to ask yourself, why the fuck did Milwaukee continues to trot out Thon Maker? I was wondering that a lot on Wednesday. I didn't really get that into the podcast, but watching Andre Drummond just have his way with Thon Maker made me so mad, because you have guys like Tyler Zeller, you have guys like Marshall Plumlee. Send his ass down to the G League. That's what the G League is for. Bring up Marshall Plumlee, send down Thon Maker. Like, it's not that hard. And I don't know, maybe it's because the NBA has weird rules and it's not like baseball where these guys have options and you can send them down. Like, Thon definitely needs something. He's completely lost out there. He's taken a massive step back. He hasn't just taken two steps back. He's taken like five steps back, and you have to ask yourself, what exactly is his ceiling right now? Because it is clear that Thon Maker doesn't really belong on NBA roster right now. He, of course, after this article comes out, he only plays 5 minutes. So obviously, maybe this is something the Bucks had been seeing, but it's not great. Moving forward to other NBA topics. So sometimes when you have a blog, but you work a day job and you can't actually do any of the fun stuff that of things that break overnight, and you know, it's unfortunate, but you had the story from Brian Windhorst and Dave McManaman about J.R. Smith got suspended for the Philadelphia game because he threw a bowl of soup at Damon Jones, his assistant coach. That is a wild fucking story. It is a story that if you were to say, okay, which NBA player threw a bowl of soup at somebody, who would you say? I think J.R. Smith is in the first five guesses, without question. There's no question about it that everyone would have at least guessed J.R. Smith at some point, because that's just a J.R. Smith move. I think that is exactly something you'd see out of J.R. Smith. And so it's crazy. I mean, is this the best story of the year? I think it may be. I mean, the NBA has had so many stories where it almost feels like we're trying to top the next great one. Like, there are just so many weird things, like the secret tunnel thing that happened was, I think, the recent one. So then J.R. Smith goes, let me take it another level and get suspended for throwing fucking soup. Like, I mean, what a wild story. And who the hell would do that? I think J.R. Smith, Michael Beasley, that might be it, Lance Stevenson. I think that's your three. I think that's your three of guys most likely to throw soup at an assistant coach would be those three players. I think that is the list. And maybe Nick Young. I guess you put Swaggy P in there. Definitely let me know. SnowtapWI on Twitter. Let me know which NBA players would, other than JR, be the most likely to throw soup. And then then I also wondered, because I mean, I thought about this all day. Like, I had work to do. I had all this shit going on. And I kept thinking about, you know, what's the worst soup to get thrown on? Because it didn't identify what soup did he throw on him. And I have to go with split pea. I think split pea is one of the grossest soups in the game. Like, I am way out on split pea soup. Like, way the fuck out. Like, I don't think I can ever eat split pea soup. It's just not for me. I don't like the look. It really looks like baby puke. It looks like baby puke, or it looks like something I shit out when I've ate poorly the night before. I just can't do it. So I definitely think split pea. I don't think JR is a split pea kind of guy. I bet it was like a tomato based soup. And then last night, to top it all off, we have a Wolves and Jazz fight. I made a mention on the podcast yesterday. I was like, well, why do we have to get another game with the T-Wolves? This is why, I guess, because there's a fight. Jeff Teague hip checks Ricky Rubio, crazy play, starts a fight, leads to Jay Crowder being an enforcer, immediately endearing himself to all the Utah fans, sticking up for Rubio, ready to go with Jeff Teague. Obviously, Jeff Teague gets ejected. Crowder and Tibbs have words with each other, both MFing each other. And then Jimmy Butler hops on Twitter for the first time in like a year and a half to kind of defend Teague, which was interesting, as well as kind of alluding that Rubio flopped, and then telling Jay that Jay doesn't want any smoke with Coach Tibbs. And Jay replies back, and for every reason, Jay Crowder always is on all caps. I need to know why Jay Crowder is always an all caps tweeter. You know, is it just something where it's like his button stuck? Or is it like that's just his thing? Like, does Jay Crowder actually use lowercase letters? I have to know these things. Like, I have no idea. So Jay replies to Jimmy and says, you know where I live, you know my address, you know all this, like, come see me. Cause you know, these guys are boys, like, they're Marquette teammates. They hang out together in the off season. Like, just so funny. Always a good time. Wrapping up the podcast with some NFL news and notes. The combine is almost done. I think today is the last day of the combine. Baker Mayfield continues to be the GOAT. I feel like we need Baker season t-shirts for Murph and I, just especially producer Murph and I would adore Baker Mayfield. And he told Cleveland, like, yeah, I'll take you back to the promised land. Yeah, I think Sam basically said Sam Darnold's a pussy for not competing. He's like, I want to compete. I want to show you that I'm the best quarterback. Immediately, the baby soft Cleveland media is like, oh no, he looks too much like Johnny Manziel. Okay. I think we have, and he hated this. I think we do have to dispel this. I do like Baker because there is a little bit of a Johnny vibe to him, but he's in no way like Manziel. Yes, he got in a little bit of trouble, but you got to remember Manziel had so much more going on, man. There was so much more happening with Manziel. This is definitely a different scenario, but I do think a lot of dumbass NFL teams will immediately do that and virtue signal to Mayfield, and it sucks. It sucks that Baker Mayfield has to go through that. And maybe he gets drafted lower than he should, but he's going to be a stud. He's going to be a stud for a team, and I love him. I think it's great. Now, who Cleveland may draft is Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley has an absolutely amazing combine. He was already considered a top five pick. The surge of Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott and even Leonard Fournette has made running backs kind of a thing again. And Saquon seems like a surefire running back pick. Now, we've seen guys who have be surefire running back picks back when running backs, what the thing to do was to draft running backs with top picks. I mean, the last Penn State guy was Hajana Carter. Hajana Carter, I don't remember a lot of him because I was a pretty young pup when Hajana Carter was around. But from what I recall, Hajana Carter was a stud. And Hajana Carter played really well. So, and he tore up his knee and was never the same with Cincinnati, and it never worked out. I mean, the Bengals fans thought he was the second coming of Christ. I do think with the position that Cleveland is in, and I think what you do, I do think, and I think you draft Barkley first. I really do. I think because then you allow the second and third pick, the Giants. So yes, I think why you draft Barkley first is because you A, let the Giants make the decision on quarterback. You say, okay, you want to draft Josh Rosen. You want to draft Sam Darnold. You may want to draft Baker Mayfield. Make your decision. Josh Allen, draftjoshallen.com. As you know, it's a website just like Snowtap WI. So I think you let them make the decision on what you do there. And then Indianapolis, you basically block the Colts from drafting Barkley, because I think the Colts will draft Barkley. I think Jim Irsay we'll look at it and say, I can have Saquon Barkley and Andrew Luck on my roster for the next 10, 15 years and have it, this offense has been essentially rebuilt. I think the Colts have bigger concerns than running back, to be honest, and they would be better off drafting a lineman, but they're not going to do that. So I think that's why you draft Saquon first and then let, you know, the Giants make up the decision on quarterback, and then it's one less guy. So then it becomes, is it either between Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold? Is it between Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen? If it is Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen, who both I think Cleveland's not about, do we want to get rid of one of these guys and or do we not even want to draft a quarterback? And we'll come back and we'll draft a quarterback with one of our various second round picks and go look, because it is a quarterback deep draft. That's the other thing. I think it's a very unpredictable year at quarterback, just in general, the Lamar Jackson stuff, which I don't want to get into today. But I think that there are so many different options to go at quarterback that the Browns could be fine drafting a quarterback in the second round. I don't think they have to draft a quarterback in the first five picks. I know that's a little bit spicy of a take, but I think it might be better off. They might be better suited by drafting someone later in this draft. Okay, have to talk about Orlando Brown's combine numbers. I know we're running a little bit out low on time, but Orlando Brown had combine numbers similar to what your boy did at Eau Claire back in the day. He ran a 5.8 5.40, which is like one of the slowest ever in the combine. That's what I ran at Eau Claire. Terrible. He had a vertical of 19. I think mine was like 15. I was terrible. I had credit card vert. Like, so he beat me there. 14 on the bench press, 225. I don't think we bench pressed. Like, we didn't test out and bench pressed. We think we just maxed. And I probably, in my heyday, do I think I could have got 14 on 225? I think I could. I don't know. I've not benched in a while. I do like regular bench on a dumbbell. So I don't know what I could do at this point. That would be something interesting to see. But yes, terrible numbers, just absolutely awful. Probably brings him to a third, you know, he goes from a first round pick to maybe third round, fourth round. He obviously has a pro day. I also don't know what his agent was fucking thinking. After he tested bad in one or two, just be like, you haven't, we'll say you have a hamstring injury. We'll say you're hampered by something. And now you're going to have to spin zone this whole thing. And it's, man, tough look for him. I feel bad. I feel bad that, you know, for this guy. Now, granted, I could make the argument that a team like the Packers should draft, a very first round potential guy who's just going to need a little more work in the weight room than usual in the second or third round. I think that'd be a very savvy move by our Green Bay Packers. So to wrap up the podcast, finish up with talking about Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, apparently, according to Adam Schefter this morning, is down to four teams. It'll be between the Broncos, the Jets, the Cardinals, and I don't have like a guttural reaction. I think the Broncos really want him. I think the Jets are backing up the Brinks truck. Cousins had a picture with a selfie with Larry Fitzgerald and said, hey, he's a good recruiter. I think the Larry Fitzgerald angle is very interesting. Don't sleep on that, and don't sleep on the idea of living in Arizona. I think the tax code's pretty nice compared to the other three that we're talking about, just if you're looking at it from that angle. And yes, the Vikings probably give him the best chance to win a Super Bowl. And they have Joe DeFilippo, who remade Nick Foles, Carson Wentz. He saw what DeFilippo did with the Eagles offense. I know that a lot of the guys are pushing Cousins to the Vikings, a lot of the NFL analysts. We will cross that bridge. We've talked about it a couple times on Daily Tap, and I've wrote about it on Snow Tap. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers, our quarterback in Green Bay, is waiting on Cousins' deal before signing his extension, which makes a ton of sense. He's not, I mean, why would he set the market for Kirk Cousins? He wants Kirk to set the market for him, and then Aaron's gonna get paid. And we'll definitely talk about that, I'm sure, as the spring and summer goes on. Okay, Tappers, if you're in Milwaukee and you're doing the shuffle today, stay safe. Don't do anything too dumb. Be respectful. Just be appropriate. Like, obviously, it's a debaucherous day. I don't know if debaucherous is a word, but we're going to make it one. It's a day full of debauchery. There you go. Just try to be cool at least. And we'll talk tomorrow. I'll be probably pretty hungover, but we'll talk tomorrow. We'll talk about Marquette, anything else that comes across the college basketball wire today, as well as who knows if there's another NBA guy. Maybe someone else throws another can of soup at an assistant coach. You never know. Okay, Tappers, you can find us SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as SnowTapWI. It's a website. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Google Play. Take care. We're out. See you.